My heart, we always,
as I was reflecting
this week, particularly over the weekend, well, yesterday, today, Sunday, there seems to be something very timely about both our readings that we had in church this morning, the letter from St. Paul to Timothy, and also our gospel reading today. Our gospel reading, of course, being about the parable that Jesus told of the rich man and Lazarus. In it, Jesus is asking the major question about the responsibility we all have in this life for everyone in order to do the work of the kingdom here and now, not just to keep putting it off until it is too late. In this parable, we have two characters, plus, of course, Father Abraham, with the rich man looking down his nose at Lazarus, even after his death. Interestingly, Lazarus is the only named person in any parable that Jesus told. Lazarus was, of course, the name of his close friend, who Jesus did indeed raise from the dead. The name Lazarus means God helps. So two people, one seemingly great, successful, popular in the eyes of the world, and one downtrodden and ignored on the very fringes. Who would we make friends with out of those two? Who would we invite around to the house for a cup of tea? On a lighter note, it reminds me of the two main characters in the musical Wicked and the relationship between them, the pretty, blonde, and very popular Glinda and a misunderstood green girl called Elphaba. She is literally green if you don't know the show. She is different. That is the whole point. But then this is Oz as well. Glinda pretends to take Elphaba under her wing with a song titled Popular, which starts with the lyrics, "Whenever I see someone less fortunate than I," and let's face it, who isn't less fortunate than I? It is a very funny start to this person trumping themselves up with their own popularity and their own status. Here we have the girl with status completely looking down her nose at someone who isn't like her. Which is exactly what is happening in today's parable. And the parable, not only today's parable, but I would argue the parable for our day as well. Because while the rich man wears expensive clothes, Lazarus is naked and covered in sores. The rich man ignores Lazarus as he passes through the gate every single day on his way to a great feast. Naked, sick, and hungry, Lazarus is invisible to the rich man. The rich man could almost be saying to himself, "Whenever I see someone less fortunate than I," and let's face it, who isn't less fortunate than I simply ignore them. Because in this life, that is exactly what the rich man does. And even after death, the rich man shows no remorse or sadness about what has happened. Rather, he wants Lazarus still to serve him, to soothe his burning tongue. There's no turning it on its head for the rich man, and the rich man saying, "Oh, let me beg at your feet. No, send Lazarus down to come to attend to me." But Lazarus has been given a place of honour next to Abraham, who says, "No, that's not how it works. When you were alive, you had good things, and you had your chance, and Lazarus had nothing. You never helped him then when you could." Being confronted with the truth and having to face up to the situation, the rich man then does do some begging. "Well, at least let him go and warn my brothers so they can repent before it's too late for them." "No," says Abraham again. They have had plenty of warning from Moses and the prophets. If they won't listen to that warning, someone rising from the dead isn't going to convince them either. And in this, Jesus is giving a forewarning to exactly what will happen. Because when Jesus rose his friend Lazarus from the dead, it didn't make people rush around hailing him. It didn't make the authorities change, but rather they felt threatened, and it led directly to Jesus' own death on the cross. Seeing really wasn't believing in that case. Jesus knows this. That is why he finishes the parable in this way. The parable is about recognizing that we are all of us, loved by God. Just because someone is poor, it does not mean that they are less important to God than, say, someone who is rich and famous. Now, don't get me wrong. The haves are valued in the eyes of God, and there are no have-nots in the eyes of God. Because to God, each one of us is valued, and each one of us is of an equal value. Every one of us is a beloved child who needs to come home to Jesus' outstretched arms. The rich man has constructed his own chasm by ignoring the law and the prophets and not using his wealth to help others. It is not his wealth that causes that chasm. It's the blindness that the wealth causes that creates the void, that he simply cannot see where help is needed, right at his own garden gate. So, how are we to mind the gap? How do we close that chasm that separates us from people we've come to see as somehow less valuable than us? How can we use our gifts to serve? How often do we cross the road when we see somebody begging for our help? You might not wish to give the money. You might already donate to charities that help the homeless. Fantastic if you do. But always say hello. If you say nothing else, say hello to the people. Recognize that they are humans and they are loved by God. Because there is only one bridge that can connect us to people on the other side of the chasm. And that bridge is Jesus Christ. When we stand at the foot of the cross, we see that we are no better than anyone else. We are all equal. There is no one less or more fortunate than you in the sight of God or than me. What we have to do is use the gifts we have been given. They may be wealth, they may be skills, they may be gifts of time. To be Christ's hands and feet, to build his kingdom of love and care for all people, and not to dig boundaries or chasms, simply to say hello to others. Because everyone is invited to God's table, whoever they are. The trick is, how do we respond to that invitation?